Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Wednesday night. Once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all of you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing over the air, just contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD2MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So without further ado, before we go any further, you know what I do. I always like to petition the Lord for his spirit to be with us once again as we take this journey into the Word of God. So wherever you're listening to me at, why don't you join in with me in prayer and let us petition the Lord together. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, once again on this blessed Wednesday night, in some areas it may be Thursday morning, in other areas it may be Thursday evening, but either way it go, this day at this time, we're grateful to be able to come before you to petition you once again for your spirit to be with us. So therefore, Lord, don't let us go into this lesson, this message without your spirit, because, Lord, without your spirit, we can't comprehend anything. So, Lord God, we need your spirit to shed light, to give revelation, to give understanding right now. Father, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would anoint the words of my mouth and have me to give this as the way you have me to give it, to bring glory and honor to your name. I pray that everyone that is tuning in that has a desire to listen and want to know the truth, that you have revealed the truth unto them. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. God bless all of y'all on this blessed Wednesday night. Once again, this is Brother Nate. We have an hour broadcast today. Some of y'all may have heard Brother Eddie Lee. Thank God for the brother who came on earlier to share the word of God with you. Tonight, once again, we're still in the series of Masons or Masonry. And basically, this message of the whole series is that Masonry is not Christian. You hear some say that Masons is a Christian organization. I've heard it before myself. And I'm here to show you that that is not true. I'm also here to show to those of you who are Christians who became Masons. Now you call Christian Masons. I wanted you to see what you have gotten into. And I pray that you would search the Lord with all your heart to what I'm giving you. Now, once again, some of you who are in the Masons may say, hey, this stuff you've given us, I never heard it. I've never seen it before. Therefore, you're lying. And to some, most of you, I say, who would say that to me, I believe that you would be saying that to me with an honest heart. But once again, I know why you don't know it. As I did in the opening series of Masonry is Not Christian, the opening, I told you what one of your leaders in Masonry said about Masonry, that they purposely lie to you, okay? But for those of you who are the lower level Masons, to those of you who's not a debt or a sage or elect, according to what the Masons call them, you are purposely lied to. You are misled, and you are purposely given wrong information. Amen? With the intention that for you to even just imagine, as he said, that you know the answer to these symbols and all that, but you really don't. Amen. So tonight, we're going with part two of Masonry is Not a Christian, it's History, part two. We're going to give a foundation scripture, a open scripture, before we go any further. And our opening scripture is going to be in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 9 and 10. This is going to be our foundation scripture in this section of Masonry is Not Christian, It's History Part 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And the word said, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. This is our opening scripture because we're talking about the history, dealing with the history of Masonry. And we talked about how the word tells us that all things are created. And what we saw here is that what God had created, or God gave it a beginning, God created it good. Okay? God didn't go out creating evil. He created good. Hallelujah. We saw that in the scripture concerning Satan, who was Lucifer. God said that to him, you were perfect in all your ways the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. So when God creates something, he doesn't create it evil. Because remember, his nature is good. So he has to create that which is good. Amen. And so we're opening with that scripture because we're talking about the history of Masonry. And part one of this history, I gave you a little more modern history on it about who started Masonry per se, the little modern history where they talked about the earliest recording of a person become a Freemason was Elijah Ashmo. And they said that's the earliest recording of one becoming a Freemason. They said that the Grand Lodge of England, as they claimed that organized Freemasonry began June 24, 1717. And then you have other places like Ireland in 1725, Scotland in 1736. Okay. And then in Masonry, you have all these claims of who started Masonry, where Masonry started from. Like, for example, there is what is called a Halliwell manuscript. And I hope I'm pronouncing it right. H-A-L-L-I-W-E-L-L. Halliwell manuscript or Regis poem. And this document dates between 1390 and 1425. And this document states that Masonry began with a man named Euclid, who was known as a Greek mathematician and who was referred to as the father of geometry. And like I said, that's where some of you Masons that's listening, because you're told different things about the G, what the G represent. And I know one of them, they told you that beside it meaning God, you'll hear it in another time later on, it means geometry. Okay? Amen. And then there was another manuscript called a Cook manuscript that says that it traces Masonry back to Jabal, who was the son of Lamech, that's mentioned in Genesis chapter 4, and that it tells that the knowledge came to Euclid from there, okay? And then from Euclid, it went to the children of Israel while they were in Egypt. Well, I have not seen anything indicating that, okay? This particular knowledge that the children of Israel supposed to have from this Euclid. In fact, I looked in the Concordance, Bible Concordance, to see, does this man name exist in the Bible Concordance? And there is no Euclid found in the Bible. Okay. Now, I admit that in the Bible, there's some historic things that the Bible does not mention. Amen. But there are things when it's of great importance, you can rest assured that God will lead you something about it in the scriptures. Okay. Hallelujah. Per se. Amen. Praise be to God. And so I talked to you also about how that the first American lodge was founded in Boston in 1733, and how that the Prince Hall Masons, which is the color man or the black man part of the Masons, was formed in 1784 on September the 29th because a man named Prince Hall and 14 other free black men wanted to become part of the Masons, and they wanted to be admitted into the what is called the St. John's Lodge to become a Mason. but because of their color, they were turned down. And so therefore they formed the Prince, what is called the Prince Hall Mason. So the black or colored man who's a Mason is referred to as the Prince Hall Mason. Amen. And as I said yesterday, you see, it seems like even in stuff that's evil, racism still makes its way up in there. Amen. Praise be to God. So tonight we're going to continue on with this history. And like I said, we're going to continue on with these different claims of from the Masons and all that, of who started it, blah, 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 and all that. And we're going to look into that. Amen. But once again, our opening scripture shows that whatever God creates, it is good. Okay? It's good. It's not evil. It doesn't, whatever God creates, he doesn't create it to make you worship another God. He doesn't create things to make you sin. He doesn't create evil. Now, he creates that which is good. Now, what happens down the road, if it takes in any kind of sin or iniquity, it can change. But God did not originally create it to be evil. Okay? Let's keep that in mind. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to go into some more history. Okay? First, let's go to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. Thank you, Jesus, for the word of God. You know, I just sense the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus. Just the Spirit of the living God just touching me. I thank God. You know, it's nothing like the presence of the Spirit of God, people. Amen. I know many of you can raise your hands to that and vouch for that. Amen. It's nothing like the presence of the Spirit of God. It's nothing like when you're going through, maybe you're around some confusion or contention. Maybe you have been feeling sad or upset, disgusted. And when you go to praying, it's just, even just the presence of God, even when God even if he don't say nothing, it's something about just his presence brings you joy. It's something about his presence that uplifts you. Okay? That's why as a Christian, as a Lord, don't keep your presence away from me. Because in times of going through, you know, there's times that I just want to sense the presence of God. Because sometimes, and I know we don't supposed to let our emotions rule, but sometimes we fall into the arena where we start feeling like we're alone. And sometimes, you know, physically you are alone. But not overall, because God said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 10. And I'm going to read verses 8 to verse 11. Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 to verse 11. Like I said, as I begin this series, this whole series, I told y'all I want to be led by the Spirit of God in this, you know, to give unto y'all what I need to give unto you. I want to be led by the Spirit of God in structuring this and setting this up and all that. Amen. Now, I gave y'all opening foundation scripture. I hadn't really overall planned to do that. That just came to me today. So I want the Lord to continue to be working with me in that area. Amen. Praise be to God. Now look at Genesis chapter 10. I'm going to look at verse 8 to verse 11. The word of God said, and Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom, keep that in mind, the beginning of his kingdom, who kingdom? Talking about Nimrod. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asshur and builded Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Calah. Amen. Now, let's go to chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 1. Genesis chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 1. And I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 9. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to verse 9. Amen. Now, the word said, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Hmm. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and dare confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Amen. Now, we look at this because, remember, Nimrod was a leader, a king of his kingdom called Babel. And many historians agree that Nimrod had some connection to this people building this tower. Okay. Hallelujah. That they said that was going to reach heaven. Okay. Because remember, he was king in that land. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost. And the historian Josephus Flavius says, talks about how that Nimrod, along with the people, one of their purpose of building the tower, because they're going to call themselves out due to flood, just in case another flood come again. You understand what I'm saying? So they won't be caught up in the flood. You know, they're going to call themselves trying to outdo God. So Nimrod did not represent a good leader. Amen? He didn't represent no good leader. He represented an evil leader. Hallelujah. Now, some of you say, well, why are you going into Genesis here by Nimrod? Well, some of the Masons, especially, there is found, according to a book called The Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, The Legend of the Craft in the Old Constitution, in that encyclopedia, Freemason's encyclopedia, Nimrod is said to be one of the founders of Mason. Hmm. Nimrod, the same one that was over a people and together with the people, they're going to call themselves trying to outdo God. See, Nimrod representing the evil. Okay? So why would I want to join something? If I said that my founder was someone that was devising evil against God, why would I join it? Amen. If I say that that's my beginning, if that's who created it, if that's who started it, why would I join it? Hallelujah. Nimrod was known as a mighty hunter before the Lord. But in Babel, or Babel here, in the land of Shinar, because remember, that's where his kingdom, we read in Genesis chapter 10, that the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and name all that in the land of Shinar, okay? Where the people came to. And see, he was the king in that kingdom there. So he had to have some kind of agreement there, okay? Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus. If there's an organization trying to get me to join and they say that, hey, the one that is the founder of this organization is so-and-so, and this so-and-so was a man that was rebellion against God and leading people in rebellion against God, why would I join it? Amen. Why would I join it? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, there is a Masonic connection to the ancient Babylonian mystery religion. It's a direct connection between Freemasonry and the ancient Babylonian mystery religion from the ancient pagan religions of Egypt, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Here's the thing. Masonry, when you go into that, and the thing they teach you, they go into a lot of Egyptian mythology and Greek mythology, just like your sororities and fraternities. Like I told you, that's where they branch out from. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And see, Nimrod was the king of his kingdom there. Hallelujah. And from so far what we see in the scriptures there, he established the first great empire after the flood. Amen. But it was not an empire created by God. You understand that? Because the people, him with the people together, was getting together. The people said, let us build a tower that will reach heaven. Let us make us a name. So they put in glory to themselves. Why would I want to join an organization that credits a man who, with the people, was in rebellion against God? God is not hadn't created something like that. Hallelujah. See, this is why it's important, you know, to learn history on stuff. Like I said, I wish that when I was in school that I knew back then what I know now, I would have took history more serious. Because history is very important in anything that you need to learn. Because a lot of time, history will bring you up to the point that you're looking up now in the present. History will let you know what you're dealing with. History will let you know the root of something, where it started. That's what history does. And see, what has happened to many of us as Christians, we have joined the Masonic organization, and we hadn't searched nothing out. And what they did, this is where the trick of the enemy came in at. The enemy told them, present some good stuff to them. Talk nothing but good. Don't tell them all that other stuff. And that's what they did, and many of us took it hook, line, and sinker. And see, one thing about the devil, he has had years to study man. Yeah, he has. And see, he looks at even some professing Christians, and he noticed that some of us don't have no time for Jesus. And he said, aha, oh yeah, I can play with this thing right here. Because he has no root. She has no root. Okay? So I could just come and get some of these people to speak sweet nothings in their ear and get them. Why? Because they're not going to go search up nothing. And you know what? The devil's a liar, but he'll be right about that. Amen. Don't go search up a thing. And then when we find out we're in deception or get caught up in some deceiving stuff, we get mad at God. God, why you let me? God, why didn't you tell me? Why you let me? Why you let me? And see, God is still up there and let you fuss. God ain't fussing back with you. And then when you get tired, because you're going to get tired, you'll get tired before he ever get tired. And when you get tired, God going to speak it. And one thing he going to tell you, say, you never searched it out. Remember what Jesus said in the book of John chapter 5? He said, search the scriptures. And if you think ye have eternal life, he said, search. God didn't teach us as Christians to be a bunch of naive people. That's how we're going about. We're so naive, we just believe anything. That ain't what God is. God expects us to walk in love, but he didn't tell us to be naive, just believe anything. And see, that's what happened. So when these, quote, Masonic representatives come to you and present this, oh, we do this, we do that, we do the good for this, the good for that, hook, line, sinker, we swallow it. Hallelujah. Amen. We swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. Thank you, Jesus. And see, in the Freemasonry, or Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, they said Nimrod is one of the founders. Okay? So they said this is the originator right here. So if the originator or the one who began it was evil and in the spirit of rebellion and all that against God, God didn't create him to be rebellion. So why would I join anything that, quote, he started when it is in the spirit of rebellion? Because long as he started it, per se, in the spirit that he's in, that means the organization he started will be in a spirit of rebellion against God. You understand what I'm saying? Now, some of you in Masonry have heard this. Whoever of the Mason were dealing with you, more or less, says, you know what? We can trace our roots back to Nimrod. Well, I'm telling you about Nimrod. I'm telling you about him. See, he was king of that kingdom over there in Shinar. So he had some agreement with that people in building this tower. They said going to reach heaven because, like I said, the historian Josephus said that they built this tower, called itself going to avoid any kind of flood if a flood come again, like they're going to outdo God. Wow. Isn't that like, man, when God says something, they try to outdo God. If God say, hey, you commit fornication, adultery, a curse going to come on you, they try to outdo it. They try to say, well, we're going to come up with something that'll keep the curse from happening, and you can still fornicate and commit adultery. Not happening, people. You're not going to outdo God. Notice that when God, now, one of the things that God did, God saw them, they building this tower, and God was talking about how the people were one. God said it. He said, this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them to do. See, even when evil get together, they can accomplish some things. So God had to show that he was the ultimate man. So he broke them down by what? Confounding their languages. Because they said, hey, let us make a name. Let's make a name for ourselves. Get glory for ourselves. See, that's what man does. Whenever he tries to outdo something of God, when God speaks on it, that's the purpose of what? Giving glory for itself. Just like I said, just like all these sexually transmitted disease going out, okay? We know what the bulk is coming, people just having unlawful sex, and God told you and let you know in the scripture, you're going to be cursed if you do that. But see, man said, well, we're going to invent these protective things like condom and all these kind of pills and stuff. Let me tell you, I don't care what you do, they're not going to be 100% effective. Even the people that made it would tell you themselves that this thing is not 100% protective. Now, don't care what it is. So you're going to go ahead and take that risk. Okay, risk the curse. But once again, you're not going to outdo God. You're not going to outdo him. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And according to some traditions, it's even been said that Nimrod sought to turn men away from God by setting up what they call a tyrannical government and setting up a new religion. In fact, the new religion centered around Nimrod and his wife, Semiramis, that eventually evolved to Baal worship, from which all the pagan religions of the Middle East and Europe later developed. See, that's why with these Masons and fraternity and sorority, they always speak in these Egyptian or Greek mythology. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Yidabahashaka. Glory. Ooh, I sense the Holy Ghost. I sense the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I sense God's Spirit. You know, and like I said, since I've been doing this series, starting off, the Spirit of the Lord has been with me strong as I present this info to you, the listener. Amen. Just confirming in my spirit. See, people, this thing is serious. You know, and like I said, some of you are sitting up there thinking like, ain't nothing wrong with the Mason. It's just a social club or a social organization. Okay, you keep believing that lie. You keep on believing that lie. You know, one of the things that's wrong with us as Christians, like I said, besides having a slothful spirit, and what I mean is slothful, man, when it comes to getting in the Word of God, we got every excuse in the land and in the universe. It's pitiful. But we think God supposed to just do for us when we won't even do something for him. So when he says study to show thyself approved, we go, God knows I got a job and all that to do. And if I get in trouble, he'll come and say, because that's what he is. He's a God of love. No, you think he's a fool. That's exactly what it is. You just think he's a fool. You think that, okay, I don't got to do what he says, but he's still going to come and do for me. You take God as a fool. Oh, no, you're not coming out and saying it, but that's what it is. Okay? Hallelujah. Like the example, like I gave yesterday, that's why a lot of your jobs that you own, even though they give you that company book, I'm going to tell you something. In their heart, they don't expect you to read that company book. And 9 times out of 10, we don't. Okay? We don't read it. And then when the company started doing some outrageous stuff, our lip poked out. We told them, that's wrong. They can't do it. And then the company, knowing you ain't read that company book, oh, they are raised up with their chest stuck out and said, we're the company and we can do it. You either take it or leave it. And now we up there a boohoo and crying and all that. When it's in the company book, they can't do it. But see, the problem is we won't search nothing up. And then we turn to God and say, God, do something. You know, I can just imagine God when we do some stuff like that, be up in heaven and have to keep this stuff like, wait a minute. You got a company book right there. You should have read it. That's what he says to us about his word. His word is right in front of us, and we need to study it. But see, we won't study it because our jobs are more important to us than God. People are more important to us than God. And we tell Jesus, we don't have time for you. We got to do other stuff. But when I get in trouble, I want you to swoop like underdog, come to save the day, deliver me out. I'm going to give you a couple praises and a thank you, and then I'm going right back to what I was doing. Because we're taking God to be a fool. While the devil's in the corner laughing at us, calling us fools. Oh, yeah, that's what he's doing, laughing at us. Because we got our chest stuck out, and we think we can come against the devil without the word. We think we can defeat the enemy and outdo the enemy with our own strength. Some of y'all are finding out that ain't true. And the rest of y'all going to find out that ain't true. Amen. Hallelujah. All of our shout of glory. Thank God for the written word of God. Amen. I sense the spirit of God. Amen. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 7. 1 Kings chapter 7. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, for his spirit. This may be, I don't know, the last thing we go over tonight. Like I told you all, I'm just want to be led by God's Spirit in presenting these things to you. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 13. And the word of God says, and King Solomon sent and fetched Hiram out of Tyre. He was a widow's son of the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass. And he was filled with wisdom and understanding and cunning to work all works in brass. And he came to King Solomon and wrought all his work. Okay, and let's stop there for a minute. From what I understand, in the Bible, there were three men named Hiram. Okay. Now, one of the other men named Hiram was good friends with David. When David was building the house, he sent supplies and men to help build the house. And then later on, that same Hiram, sometimes the name is pronounced Hiram, H-U, instead of H-I. But anyhow, that man later on continued a friendship with David's son Solomon, send him material and also men to work on Solomon's temple. This Hiram right here is a different Hiram. Now, this Hiram right here was out of Tyre. And the Bible says he was a widow son of the tribe of Naphtali. And his father was a man of Tyre, a worker in brass. And he was filled with wisdom and understanding, cunning to all the work, all the works in brass. And he came to King Solomon to wrought all his work. Now, this is when Solomon is getting ready to build the temple. Okay. Now, some of you said, well, Brother Nate, why are you going to this? Because I'm giving you this chapter for you to read. On your time, read this chapter about this Hiram. This man Hiram right here is known as Hiram Abiff. Now, here's another reason. We start talking about the history. This is another thing that some Freemasons claim of their history. Some Freemasons trace their roots to the building of King Solomon's Temple. Amen. King Solomon's Temple in Jerusalem, which is said to be 967 BC. In the story, now this is the story that some of the Freemasons give to say, this is where the roots of Masonry come from. So in the story they give, they said the builders of the temple were original stone masons, and they were the forefathers of today's Freemasons. Haven't seen that in there. Yeah, I know that they were stone, but as far as seeing that they are forefathers of today's Freemasons. But anyhow, the legend centers on the master builder, a man named Hiram Abiff. Now, this is the Hiram we were just reading about here. Okay. Get this. Who claimed to know the secret of the temple. Now, I hadn't read in here something about anything about a secret of the temple that Solomon was building. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it said, the legend centers on the master builder named Hiram Abiff, who claimed to know the secret of the temple. One day, three men kidnapped Abiff and threatened to kill him if he didn't reveal that secret. This is what they tell now. Okay. When Hiram refused to talk, he was murdered. Okay. After learning of the killing of Hiram Abiff, they said that King Solomon ordered a group of masons to search for Abiff's body and bring back the secret of the temple. They said the men were unsuccessful in doing that. So the king established a new Masonic secret. His secret is believed to be the word Mehabon, which means the grand lodge door open, which is now the password used to enter the third degree of masonry. Did you hear that? Now, I just took you to 1 Kings chapter 7 that talks about this Hiram. Like I said, on your time, read this whole chapter. Okay? It's got like, 51 verses in it. And so, when it talks about all what was built and put in the temple, remember Hiram came to work all the works in brass and to do the work in the temple, okay? And then when they get to verse 51, it says, so was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord, and Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels did he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord, okay? Now, I did not see in that chapter where it mentions anything about Hiram having a secret of the temple or to the temple. And like I said, you can go and read it yourself. 1 Kings chapter 7. This is the Hiram and Abiff that came and do the work in the temple. Okay. Hallelujah, glory. Thank you, Lord. And I had not seen. And see, the Bible tells us this Hiram was a widow's son. That's why one of the Masonic phrases they use is there any help for a widow's son? See, that's where they get that from. Amen. See, Joseph Smith, even though Joseph Smith started off as a man of God, he fell into error. And he got wrapped up in that Masonic thing. And so even when he was, if I'm not mistaken, when he was in jail and he was jumping off the ledge or something, he hollered that same phrase. Is there any help for a widow's son? See, that's why they get all these. That's where they get the, all these catchy phrases and all these hidden clues and stuff, agendas and all this. And see, that's where they get it from. So when you hear them say, "Oh, if there's any help for a widow's son," that's what they're talking about. Because see, they worship Hiram Abiff. And to them, Hiram Abiff has took the place of Jesus. I'm just gonna be honest with you. That's why some of them say they trace their roots back to Hiram Abiff. Okay. But I have not seen where Hiram Abiff was given any secret password to the temple. Okay? Hallelujah. And the interesting thing that they say about this, they said that when he was killed, Solomon ordered a group of men or ordered a group of masons to search for his body and bring back the secret of the temple. Well, if Solomon being the king, don't you think he would know the secret of the temple? Okay. And why would they have to go get his body to bring back the secret? See, that, you know, this stuff don't make no sense. See, people, like I said, that's why we have to search stuff out. Okay. Amen. And see, they involve this kind of thing in their little rituals when they initiate you. You know, when I read to you, they said three men was involved in dealing with, you know, coming at them to attack them, to kill them. They take you through this little ritual. One do this to you, one do another one, and then the third one hit you like he killed you. Amen. That's what I'm not playing it. That's what they do. And the little rituals that they do. Okay. But see, once again, as a Christian, see, this is the point where I'm pointing out. As a Christian, if you don't search things out, you will be taking in myths and lies and deception and devilish stuff. You'll be taking it in. See, we have become too carefree, people. Too carefree. My God, have mercy on us. We have become too carefree. And now they said that King Solomon had established a new Masonic secret. All these secrets. You'll find out as we go on this series, we'll talk about these secrets. All these secrets, they so secretive about this and that. And now they're talking about King Solomon came up with a new Masonic secret. Well, I haven't seen this scripture where Solomon came up with a new Masonic secret for the temple. I hadn't seen that. But see, once again, Satan and Satan through people will try you to see where you go with it. And some of them can probably pick up instantly that you don't get in the word, even though you claim to be a Christian. You know, whether you believe it or not, Christian, other people be watching you. Okay? Other people be watching you. And some can pick up whether you're getting in that word or not. Or whether you know that word. And someone would try and say, "Well, I'm going to tell him this and that. I'm going to see if he's going to go back to look it up." And so when they tell you, you start getting excited. Well, they be thinking, they say, "Oh, I got him." Because he already believed from the jump. Amen. Well, you can say amen to old me anyhow, whatever you want to say. Praise be to God. Amen. So like I said, with our opening foundation scripture, when God, whatever God creates, he creates, it's good. It's not in his nature to create, quote, evil. Amen. And remember what we read in the scripture yesterday and what we saw in Revelation. God created all things for his pleasure. Why would he create evil? Why would he create evil or organization that's centered around or based on evil when he knows it's not going to give him glory? The Masonic organization do not glorify the true and living God. It doesn't do that, people. Amen. Doesn't glorify the true and living God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. So we're going to stop it here tonight. We're going to have, Lord say the same, tomorrow a part three. Masonry is not it's not Christian, it's history. Lord say the same, part three tomorrow. Look for the advertisement there. Praise be to God. And now I want to pray with those of you who are Christians, once again, who have become Masons. And now I want to pray with you, because maybe right now God has touched your heart and revealed to you that was the wrong move. And you have come to yourself and you say, oh, Lord, oh, man. And now you the conviction is on you. And you say, what do I do now? I need to be delivered. What do I do now? Well, this is what you need to do. First of all, your confession, and say, Lord, I admit that joining the Masons was a sin, that it was wrong. Lord God, I'm truly sorry for joining it. I have a change of mind about it now, and I will turn from it and turn back to your ways. Lord God, I break my connection to the Masons. I break any allegiance to it, any soul tie to it. And Lord God, I ask that you forgive me in the name of Jesus. Now, once you have done that with an honest heart, you are forgiven and you are set free. Now it's time for you to exercise your authority. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I command every demon, every devil, every cohort of Satan to leave my life that came in through me joining the Masonic organization. I command you to leave my life in the name of Jesus. I command you to go in Jesus' name and return no more. For now you have no right to be operational in my life in the name of Jesus. And I plead the blood against you. And I cover myself in the blood of Jesus, my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you do that sincerely from your heart, you are delivered. You are set free. Hallelujah. Glory. And to those of you that are sinners, and you said, well, man, I just messed up getting in there, man. And they had me making these oaths, and oh, my goodness, I can't get out. I'm here forever. No, you're not. This is what you need to do. First thing you need to do is accept Jesus Christ as Lord, because if you want the true protection, you have to be in Christ. Amen. So this is what you do. You say, Lord, I come before you today. I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I confess you from my mouth. I believe that you were raised from the dead for me, that you broke the chains of death for me. And you said in your word, whosoever shall call upon your name shall be saved. And I call upon your name right now in the name of Jesus. You said there is no other name that's given under heaven whereby man can be saved. And so, Lord, I thank you right now as I accept you in my heart. I thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've done that, guess what? You're born again. And now you are in Christ. Now let's break the curse. And say, Lord, I confess or I admit that joining the Mason was sin. It was wrong. I regret it. I have a change of mind about it. And Lord, I will turn away from it and turn to the way of Christ. Lord God, I break my connection with it, my soul tie with it, my allegiance with it, in Jesus' name. And I ask that you forgive me for that bad move, for that sinful move. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, it's time to exercise your authority. And say, I command every demon, every devil, every cohort to leave my life that came through me being connected to the Masonry. Go in the name of Jesus. You have no longer a right to be here. You have no longer a right to afflict me, because I am forgiven and I plead the blood against you right now. And I plead the blood of Jesus over my spirit, soul, and body right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for you all. Now I'm going to offer a closing prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, this has been another blessed broadcast. And Father, I thank you. Lord God, I thank you for every ear, every soul that was tuned in, that you touched by the power of your spirit. I thank you for every eye that you have opened, every ear that you have opened. God, I thank you for the Holy Ghost that have given them revelation of truth. I thank you for the Holy Ghost and conviction falling upon them, causing them to confess and repent, causing them to renounce and turn away. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that you have been setting free right now in the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless every family, every ear that was tuned into this broadcast. I pray that you will bless them right now. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. Thank God for all of you. Listen for tomorrow, if the Lord say the same, very possibly that Brother Lee may be back on tomorrow evening at probably the same time. Just look for the advertisement. And then Lord say the same, I will be back on at 7 o'clock tomorrow night with part 3 of Masonry is Not Christian, It's History Part 3. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And may God bless you and may he keep you in Jesus' almighty name. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. God bless.
My God is God. Like hot food, it's all official. Nobody's greater for Shawn Mitchell. You got it right.